Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Monahan, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Monahan now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Monahan.
I think confidence is a side effect of hustle. I definitely had confidence growing up in certain areas. Oh, I see. I got an A on this test. So I must be good at XYZ. There's the external validation points, which only go so far. When I realized my ability to be my own inner advocate was through movement. That was when I realized that I am the director of this story. And that was really terrifying and exciting at the same time. And the confidence that now really like buttresses like most areas of my life, it's a side effect of the hustle.
Come on this journey with me. Each week when you join me, we are going to chase down our goals, overcome adversity, and set you up for a better tomorrow.
Fasten your seatbelt. I'm ready for my close-up.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm so excited for you to meet my guest today. It's Robin Arzon, Vice President of Fitness Programming and Head Instructor at Peloton, New York Times bestselling author. And wait till you hear the other things this woman is up to. She is a superwoman. Robin discovered her passion for athletics after healing from a traumatic experience through movement. She fearlessly left behind a successful law career to embark on a new adventure known as Peloton. What? She believes that sweat transforms lives and her story is living proof. To date, Robin has run 27 marathons. P.S. I've run none. And several ultra marathons, including 5 marathons in 5 days. This is insane. Her life's mission is to redefine, reform, and rethink possibility through movement, which she is doing every day. Her powerful influence and undeniable swagger transcend the fitness space with major brands, partnerships, collaborations, and the intersection of wellness, lifestyle, and fashion, including GSTQ. Robin's first children's book, Strong Mama, was written as a love letter to her daughter, Athena, about the journey they took together. I can't wait to get into it. And just one more thing. In 2020, Robin was named one of the most influential people on Fortune Magazine's 40 Under 40. Unbelievable. 2021 became the first ever recipient of Glamour Magazine's Daring to Disrupt. And today, right now, the cover girl of Women's Health Magazine, Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. What an intro. I have to bring you everywhere to kind of be a hype woman. That was really great.
I'm totally your hype woman. Listen, for a long time in my career, my listeners know this, I did not have women that would hype me up. They would, for whatever their reasons were, they wanted me to dim my light. They didn't want to celebrate things for me. And I used to think that was just the norm until I got out of that corporate environment, which I'm interested to find out that's similar for you. But then once you get around people that are for you and cheering you on, it's such a great feeling. And it just lets everybody say, oh, wait, when I shine my light, I'm inspiring someone else to shine theirs. Thank you. And that's what you're doing for us today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Wait, so I do have to ask you this. Did you years ago ever think to yourself, yeah, for sure, one day I'll be on the cover of a major magazine?
You know, it was a dream. It was definitely a dream. Not when I was a lawyer, but I didn't really aspire to be on the cover of like the Bar Association, you know, magazine. But sure, I mean, it was a dream of mine. And it's kind of funny when you realize dreams that you kind of only wrote in your journal privately, you know, years and years later, I still have a little bit of disbelief.
I think that's normal. I mean, that anytime something big happens for me, I feel the same way. Like, am I getting punked? I always think Ashton Kutcher is going to jump out of somewhere and be like, no, you are getting punked. That was hilarious. But you definitely are not. All right, let's get into it. Cause I love your backstory. So many people, you know, I'm a Peloton rider, just like I'm sure so many people listening. And when they see you on the bike and see you, you know, you're leading this huge company and you're blowing up, everyone thinks, oh my gosh, of course, that's so easy for her. And I want to get into how it hasn't been so easy for you. And I was so surprised in doing research on you that you grew up with immigrant parents and were performing incredibly well academically and really immersed in this academia world, which seems nothing like what you're doing now. What was it like back then for you?
I was always the straight A student. I was the kid who loved, like, I just loved books. And my mom really modeled that for me. My mom and my dad. My dad was a law professor. My mom is a physician. And the school was kind of the easier part. what I realized later was the story. I told myself the story that I was the straight A student. I didn't tell myself the story that I could throw a ball or go to gym class. And so that physical activity and movement was really kind of scary to me. And it's clearly I pivoted and iterated a lot for the life I've created for myself now. But I think the larger message is that we really can become the stories that we tell ourselves. And now I'm really aware of the story that I tell myself. And then in engaging with my daughter, Athena, kind of watching how I storytell around her experience, because once we're kind of labeled or even label ourselves as something or are reticent to own a label. When I started running when I was in law school. And for the longest time, I was doing 10Ks, half marathons, marathons. I was like, oh, I'm not a runner. A runner is this or that. A runner is a 5-minute mile. A runner, you know, has been doing this for 20 years, you know? So stepping into our various identities, I think can be really, really powerful. And then also being aware of the stories that we're telling ourselves. But yeah, I had examples in my parents, my mother, Cuban, my father born in Puerto Rico and raised in the Bronx. And they really modeled for me self-determination.
Oh, well, that has come through crystal clear. And I appreciate you sharing that because I definitely have told myself so many limiting stories. I've accepted labels and held on to them and had to get really clear on and making an effort, a conscious effort to say, I'm not going to allow myself, me to label myself this anymore. I'm going to drop this label like you did with the academics and step into something so different. So what was that moment like or that experience like that you went through that really created that pivot in your life when you decided to step away from law and academia and branch into something completely different?
Well, there were lots of moments, I think. I don't think for most people sometimes there's one aha moment, but I think that we get thousands of signs and we choose to see them or not. So the reason I started running is because I had a pretty intense trauma occur when I was a senior at NYU, entering law school the following year. I had already been accepted to law school. And I mean, I was held at gunpoint in the East Village in New York City when I was meeting girlfriends on a Friday night after work. Just, you know, New York City in the summer can have like a magical feeling to it. And it was one of those nights that was that until it very much wasn't. And I was sitting in this wine bar and a man walked in and he was flailing a gun. And in a matter of minutes, I went from telling my girlfriend about, you know, probably the crush I had at the time to being a hostage negotiator with the NYPD who are outside. And time slows down. That was actually one of the moments where I became really aware of story, like not in the moment, but when I reflect back on that experience, my internal narrative was very focused, but it was very loud. And I just kept telling myself, this is not the end to my story. Like, this is not, like, no freaking way is this it. So there's a fight, I believe in every one of us, there's the fight innate to the human spirit that I hold on to till this day. So that was a moment of powerlessness for sure and trauma, acute trauma. And over the years, I have been able to repackage that story as a source of strength. And I think that in a lot of our life's inflection points, we always have a choice whether we're going to be a victim to the circumstance or we're going to be victorious no matter what the circumstance is. And so, you know, when I survived that experience, I thought, okay, am I going to just be someone who survived that? Or am I now going to thrive? Because like, damn, I'm here. Like, I'm here for a reason. So let's go. And it took a while, of course, for me to process all of that. I mean, I'm still to a certain extent processing a lot of that, but running helped me so much. I started running when I was in law school. So about the year after this hostage incident. And I don't even know why. Like I said, as a kid, I was not an athlete. Like I really wasn't surrounded by runners. My mom's not a runner. I mean, my mom's a runner now, funnily enough, after having me, it's supporting me in marathons, but I wasn't surrounded by it is my point. And I just saw a pair of dusty shoes that weren't even running shoes in my closet. And I thought, I'm just going to jog, walk, nearly crawl to campus today on my way to law school. And I just started getting curious and really uncomfortable, but curious. And it provided me like a different focus. I had a lot of pain that I was carrying and I wasn't even aware of it. Highly ambitious, multifaceted, multi-hyphenate people can just like get it done. but should we always have to, you know, with that heavy burden? And it was through the runs that I really started to use movement as medicine.
And at that point in time, were you thinking, okay, this is a calling for me? Or at that point in time, you were just trying to escape the pain and try to grow through that?
Yeah, definitely growth. I mean, I practiced law for almost 8 years. So I had a full law career as a corporate litigator. And like I said, it wasn't one aha moment. I think there were like lots of little moments where I was being called to something else.
When I started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling my group coaching on the regular, and it is just so easy, all because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soaps or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. I didn't know what I was going to do when I got fired. Launching my own business seemed so intimidating. I didn't know how to set up a website, and I really didn't need to. Shopify does it all for you, and they make it so easy. It was that breakthrough moment for me that I realized I can do this. I can go to work for myself thanks to Shopify. What I love about Shopify is you don't need to have all this technology information you don't need to know how to plan and run things. You just need to go to the platform, turn it on, and know what you're selling, and Shopify is going to help you figure out the rest. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries, including your girl right here. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Monahan, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Monahan now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Monahan. No matter what stage you're at, they're going to make it easy. When starting out a new business, it's a complete pain to get through the LLC part. Tailor Brands makes it 90% easier. It's easy and affordable to get your LLC with Tailor Brands. Tailor Brands offers all the legal requirements for LLCs, such as registered agent, annual compliance, EIN, operating agreement, business license and permits, and much more. Tailor Brands walks you through each step of building a successful business and has everything you need all in one place. Bookkeeping, invoicing, business licenses and permits, business documents, bank accounts, and so much more. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailor Brands LLC formation plans using this link, taylorbrands.com/confidence. That's taylorbrands.com/confidence. So get started today with Tailor Brands.
You might not know this about me. I had one aha moment that changed my whole life. Nothing like the PTSD situation that you had, which I can't even fathom. So grateful that you were able to get through that. I was fired when I was in the C-suite in corporate America. And that was the moment I said, okay, I'm going a completely different route. And to your point, there was lots of signs along the way in the background, but nothing that called to me like that moment. Since you didn't have a moment like that, how did you find, you know, the courage to, you were stepping away from a career you're very successful in, you weren't fired, you were doing great, but you had this trajectory that was clearly set out in front of you. You had all of this time behind you that you had invested in the education and whatnot to get to that point. And your family, I would imagine, was signed up for that program that you were in. How did you find that courage to step out and say, I'm going to do something completely different?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, especially when you have the external pressures and when you have quote unquote, the dream job and the dream, you know, it was all like, young in New York City with an amazing income. I mean, my God, I had never seen that much money in my life. You know, it was just unbelievable. Those are really difficult conversations to have with yourself. The hardest conversation always starts with yourself. Like you think it might be, oh, with your partner or your mom or your kid or your boss. The first conversation that you have to have is with yourself, or the many conversations. So that's how it was for me. Once I started getting curious about, I was like, wow, I'm really passionate about this fitness thing. Like, I don't know how the heck I'm going to do this. But at first I was like, I'm just really passionate as a hobby. And then I realized, huh, maybe there's a way for me to monetize this. Like, can I pay my rent? Like, I don't know. So I started a 10-minute a day dreaming exercise. I set a calendar appointment for 10 minutes every single day. And oftentimes I would journal, I would Google, I'd be like, what does an editor at Women's Health do? You know, like, and funnily enough, now I'm on the cover, but like, those are the things that I just got curious. And there were some days where I just sat pen to paper and I was like, this is so stupid. I should just go to my next meeting, or I should just, you know, and I tried to develop a stickiness to that 10 minutes a day. And it really was 10 minutes a day for like 2 years. And I planted seeds. And then when I got a little bolder, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to send somebody an email, or I'm going to, like, you know, ask somebody to meet me for lunch, you know, and those were obviously the bigger asks. And I was told no a lot, but I was told yes too. And the yeses were enough to kind of fuel my fire. And then ultimately, I left my law firm 2 weeks before the London Olympics because I had an opportunity to kind of showcase my experience as a blogger, I guess, on social media. And some brands were paying attention, like big athletic brands. And I thought, okay, this is my opportunity. Like, I have no idea what is going to be next, but this might be a scaffold to something else. So I took a chance. And the risk felt really massive. It was massive, but I knew who I wanted to feel in my day to day. I wanted freedom. I wanted agency. I wanted the feeling I have when I'm, you know, in a workout or talking about a workout. And I knew that those were the values and the standards I had to set for myself, even if I potentially disappointed some folks. And ultimately, my immediate family was incredibly supportive. There were definitely some doubters, but I think I turned their doubt into determination.
You turned their doubt into something I'm sure they don't want to remember anymore, that they gave you any shade on what you were doing. Everybody listening right now, this is brilliant. It might sound simplistic, but setting that reminder for 10 minutes a day and investigating is brilliant. I remember 15 years ago, I loved speaking, but I didn't know people got paid for it. I would get off stages and say, I feel like magic. Oh, well, I have to go back to work now. And I never thought, like you did, hey, maybe I could investigate this a little bit. I think that's brilliant. And for anyone who isn't sure, hasn't found your passion yet, when you are feeling great, take that 10 minutes. And it took Robin 2 years. Don't give up after a month. I love that you did that. It's so simple, yet so incredibly powerful. So now the opportunity comes up for Peloton, and Peloton was not what Peloton is today. How did you know to take a chance on a brand that wasn't omnipresent like Peloton is now?
I love vision boarding. I do vision boards a few times a year. And on my vision board in my little business work quadrant, I think the majority of the vision board was probably business at that point, because I was voraciously searching for ways to pay my rent. I thought I wanted to story tell, and I wanted something that felt modernly disruptive. And I didn't know that meant technology. I didn't know what that meant, but I thought I want to make waves, and I want to do it in a way that is scalable. More than I was teaching spin in a local New York City spin studio at the time, in addition to writing my book, in addition to coaching runners. And, you know, I was doing it all at that time. And I thought, I need to scale this. I want to light people up more than 20 people at a time. And then I read a blurb about then CEO John Foley. And I thought, oh, wow, this is it. This is it. And I don't think I would have even been aware or paying attention if I hadn't done that vision board, because it kind of piqued my interest. And then I sent a cold email to the company, and it was totally, I mean, really, literally cold. They had no idea who I was. They did not approach me. I approached them. And I think I sent that email like late on a Monday night. By Wednesday, I had an audition, you know, where I play some songs and I demonstrate my teaching style and things like that. And then I was leaving the following week for India to visit my sister, who was living in India at the time. And I said, I have 72 hours. So if you want me and you want me when I'm back in 2 weeks, I need a contract now. So I had a contract in my hands before I got on that plane.
Oh, I love that you called it out like that. That is so badass and good for you because they saw that you created a sense of urgency, right? It's scarcity. What if you moved on to do something else and you knew your worth? And when you know your worth, other people are going to see it as well. So congrats. I love how you handled that. That is so incredible. Okay. When you did sign with them, did you have this vision and was this on the vision board that you knew this brand was going to blow up or you were just working towards how can I keep growing this?
You know, we definitely, I mean, the team then and now has really ambitious goals. I love it that we are, you know, we're dreamers who hustle. And I really align myself in every relationship, business relationship, and honestly, personal relationship that I have. There's an element of hustle and there's an element of grit. And that's one of the reasons I love GSTQ and I love Danny Garcia, because that is definitely part of their value system and certainly Peloton's, right? And there were high in the sky goals. Some of them we've realized, and then we keep building. Like I want to constantly live a life that is redefining possibilities. And in my toolkit, I call it a superhero toolkit. I've added, you know, breathwork, journaling, vision boarding, you know, movement, of course. And then I now get to share that with the world on a global platform. And when it was, we still have the same grit, honestly, that we had when it was like 10 people on the leaderboard, now that there's over 10,000 on an average class, you know, or something like that. So you have to anchor yourself in values and real talk and have people who are trusted critics who are willing to tell you like, hey, like let's have a feedback loop here. Like, let's see, let's kind of break this down so we can build it back up even stronger. And then also continue to dream so big that it makes small minds uncomfortable. Like I say kind of in jest, but not really, that my dreams wake me up before my alarm clock goes off. Like I'm ready and I'm so intoxicated by my dreams. The moment that I don't feel that, I know that I have to keep thinking bigger.
Oh my gosh, it comes across so clearly in your energy. Like you can feel it. Everyone can feel it. So it's so real. And it's so exciting to be around. A couple of things that I want to highlight that you said. One, that you're surrounded by people at work that have that same mindset that you do. Everybody's going for more. Everybody's pushing themselves. So critical who you are spending your time with at work day in and day out will affect the way that you're thinking for sure. And I wanted to highlight again, the vision boarding, because I actually don't vision board. I know so many people that do. Can you talk us through what that process looks like for you?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was an arts and crafts kid. So I love, like, I like the pen and paper. I'm sure there's tons of virtual apps and ways to do this on your phone or on your computer. I literally will cut up things from magazines and newspapers. Sometimes I'll print stuff, you know, if I want something really specific, but I usually do it in quadrants. So it'll be like personal life, business, it might be physical health. I bought an apartment with my husband 2 years ago. So there were part of the recent quadrants have been like, you know, money we want to invest in our home and renovations and things like that. And really it's just dreaming. It's like putting specificity in visual form and in words so you can kind of focus your dreams a little bit. I always say you have to name it to claim it. So I find that vision boards help me create a pretty picture, but then it's kind of crystallizing a little bit more what I said I wanted and now what I think I want. And they change. And I look at old vision boards and I'm like, yeah, I thought I wanted that. You know, so you have to give yourself freedom to play and freedom to evolve, right? You are under no obligation to remain who you were just because it makes somebody else uncomfortable.
Ooh, that's so good and so incredibly true. Okay, I love that you are doing the vision boarding. You're inspiring me to start doing it. How did you get into, you just kind of glazed over, I was writing my first book. To me, that is like that's major yet again, right? You went from law and then you were moving into the fitness industry and then you're writing a book. How did you make that leap and why did you want to do that?
Well, I was noticing, you know, I really wrote the book that I needed. I feel like a lot of the art that we create, a lot of the businesses that we start are because we need it ourselves. And I didn't feel like there was actionable training that was kind of talking to me, someone who didn't grow up an athlete, someone who wasn't a 5-minute mile, someone who did, I didn't even necessarily look like folks at races. You know, I would show up in like red lipstick, cat eye, four finger gold rings, like chains. I mean, it was just like, I'm gonna rock how I am. I'm gonna look good for victory as me. And Shut Up and Run really was, I wanted to marry like practical advice. Like, I will get you to the 5K finish line. I will get you all the way up to a 50 miler finish line, actually, which is pretty unusual for running manuals. And I wanted to infuse my story. So not only my story of surviving trauma, but also, you know, as a Latina, as someone who believes that we can approach all stages, all chapters of our story with swagger, authenticity, and then also give folks permission to do that on their own terms, like redefine success, redefine what a quote runner with a capital R looks like or feels like or speaks like or walks like or dresses like or runs like. There's an abundance of information out there. So I kind of wanted to distill it into something that was pretty straightforward, but honestly, swaggy.
I mean, you literally needed to be in that Run Like a Girl campaign. If Always is listening, they need to reach out to you immediately. Let's redo the campaign. Okay, so where does your confidence come from, in your opinion, across, I mean, all of these big moments and all these big leaps you take and showing up with the red lipstick? Where do you find that confidence within you?
I think confidence is a side effect of hustle. I definitely had confidence growing up in certain areas, right? It's like, oh, I see. I got an A on this test. So I must be good at XYZ. There's the external validation points, which only go so far. When I realized my ability to be my own inner advocate was through movement. It was when I started lacing up for the marathon training. It was when I started lifting weights. It was when I started, you know, even slowing down in some regards, you know, doing yoga, breath work. That was when I realized that I am like the director of this story. And that was really terrifying and exciting at the same time. And the confidence that now really like buttresses like most areas of my life. I mean, of course, there are things that I'm just like, oh gosh, I'm terrible at that. But it's a side effect of the hustle. And to put it simply, you know, like if I'm this morning, I was doing like barbell work, hang power cleans, and I hit like the heaviest weight I've ever done on a hang power clean. It's like, you can't tell me none. Like, if you don't think I'm going to ask for 10% more on that contract, you are delusional. You know, like that gives me the confidence that and then I have more patience with my daughter. I can model things for her in every way. The workout is so much more than the 20, 30, 45 minutes, 60 minutes that you put into the workout. It's how are you going to remember who you are in the other 23 hours a day? And I believe I always wake up with an invisible crown on my head, and it's like chin up, crown on, always.
Oh, I love that so much. How do you not get burnt out? Like, I'm exhausted thinking about you were just describing your workout. I just go spin, right? I do my spin class and I'm done. But how do you do all of this in a day and not feel exhausted or not get burnt out?
Burnout is very real, you know, and as high, you know, I delight in being high functioning, and I surround myself with folks like that too. I have a feeling you do too. So we have to be aware. And I'm glad that it's more part of the conversation, right? It's like all the work that Arianna Huffington has done, all the work. I mean, it's just part of now our working culture to be aware of burnout. But I also think that I kind of feel like hustle gets a bad rap now, because it's like, you absolutely should still be working your ass off, but you should also be prioritizing the conversation with yourself enough to know what your boundaries are. Because without, you cannot set standards for yourself or someone else if you do not know what your boundaries are. Establishing boundaries creates higher standards. Higher standards makes us all money and success, period. So the red line thing goes back to basics. I have a very basic but consistent way I eat, way I sleep. I do breath work for a few minutes. And you know, it's not always perfect, but it usually some semblance of that gets done. The sleep hygiene thing is really important. And listen, I know I have a young daughter. Like, I know that you can't always, you know, you plan and life just happens. But most of the time, are you doing your best to fill your own cup? Because that the energy that you have is ultimately currency. And when you're working in elements of teams, right? And it's like kind of everybody's charging together. Everybody's like burnt out together. You can do that for a period of time, right? Like if you're getting ready for launch, if you're really doing the thing, okay. But zoom out a little bit and ask yourself, is this sustainable for 6 months? Is this sustainable for a year? Probably not much more than that. in really cortisol-filled environments. So you have to establish and plan. Self-care is a prevention strategy. Self-care is not what you turn to when you're at your wit's end. It's what allows for that escape valve. It allows the pressure out a little bit of the balloon before the balloon pops. So the framework of our home is the health and wellness of my husband and myself, because nothing else gets done well or intentionally if we don't take care of ourselves. So it's scheduling my workout, scheduling his workout, delegating where we need to, you know, making sure that we have good food in the fridge that makes us fuel amazingly and gives us the energy that ultimately becomes currency. So it's all the little things that we already know. It's like drink a glass of water and eat a vegetable, honey. Like we've been telling you all this, but when we're in those moments of crisis, it's hard to make the best choice.
Oh, thanks for highlighting this, because last night I was in the worst mood because I had to get up at 3 a.m. to drive my son to school today for a school trip. And I was just so frustrated about it. And I ordered Mexican food and ate so much, like as if I was punishing somebody else. And I couldn't fall asleep and I felt sick. And I was like, why did I just do this? Do you ever have moments like that where you come off the rails or no?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that's so human, right? Like it's, and I think that you have to give yourself grace when that happens. Like, it's like, okay, indulge in the movie, like buy the thing, like don't give yourself so much grief. But I try to often think about future Robin. Like how can I, and I try to think of her like a friend, because then I think there's more effect. It's hard to befriend yourself. We're easier on our external relationships than we are internally. I make every effort to befriend myself. And I think about future Robin and I'm like, damn girl, what do you need? Like, what is it that is really going to set you up to feel at the end of the day that when your head hits that pillow, like, oh, gosh, I did that. Like that exhalation that yes, comes from fatigue, also comes from pride. And I live for that exhalation. So hell yeah, of course. Like I have like days, sometimes weekends, entire weekends where I'll go off the rails. I try not to let it go on for more than 2 days. So it's like, if you're skipping the workout, if you're doing the thing, if you're grabbing for the food that you know you're supposed to grab, put a 48-hour lock on that, maybe even 24 hours, because then things just start to snowball and you're going to end up feeling so much worse.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I love that. Okay, I need to let you know. Quince sent me the super soft fleece zip-up hoodie to try it out. And I want you to know this. This is fact. I loved it so much that I bought the same thing, super soft fleece zip-up hoodie in light blue, navy blue, gray with matching joggers. And I just ordered all the shorts too for spring and summer. This is the softest material I have ever owned. My son came up to me and said, Mom, you look so pretty. I'm literally in a zip-up hoodie outfit, and my son loved it. It is the softest thing in the world. You will thank me once you order yours. The product is incredible. The fit is incredible. I literally bought it in every color. The best. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/confidence for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/confidence to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/confidence. Thank me later.
You were pregnant and decided to start writing a book about the importance of working out while pregnant, knowing that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, have their own opinions or whatever. I am like you, I worked out the entire time that I was pregnant. It saved me. What inspired you to write that book?
Oh, well, so Strong Mama was really, it was a love letter to my little training partner, who was my baby in utero at the time. And I wanted to send a message actually that centered the caregiver. Most kids' books do not center the parents. Parents are superheroes. Like raising small humans is an Olympic sport. And I know that now. But, you know, during pregnancy, I wanted to, you know, the two values that we really try to live and espouse in our home are that movement is medicine and that self-care is not selfish. And those were the two messages of the book that I wanted to make, of course, like appropriately age related, you know, age appropriate, but also fun and center a pregnant woman, like show a pregnant woman in a book doing badass things, because it happens all the time. And that is the reality of many people's experiences. And I wanted to really highlight and showcase that, and then have a touchstone for parents to revisit these concepts, maybe when time is getting hard, or, you know, a child is saying, but why are you leaving to go do this thing? And why are you marathon training right now? And it's like, let's revisit this. And then even better, the ultimate goal is, of course, for young folks to have their own relationship with these concepts and figure out, like, gosh, what do I do when I'm feeling crummy? Like, how do I move my body in ways that allow me to feel more powerful? And that actually, you know, ends up opening up things for future books and stuff. But those were that was where my head was at when I wrote Strong Mama.
Well, I'm grateful you wrote that book, because I remember when I was pregnant getting a lot of flack for, I was running a lot, you know, during my pregnancy, and people would give me a really hard time about the health and safety of my child. And it's almost like your book gives people permission. And oftentimes when you're new, you're going to be a new parent, it's nice to have someone giving you that permission that's been there and did it and was successful at it. And it's nice because then you can begin to model that behavior and know that you're not alone. Even if you don't have those people in your life, you know, it's like that community that you're building for these people to give them that permission. So I'm so grateful that you did that. I just wish you had done it 15 years ago so I could have read it.
Thank you for paving the way for pregnant athletes. And I find it so frustrating. And honestly, I think that the paradigm is shifting a little bit. I hope it is, but I got flack too. You know, it's like, you know, I'm teaching 8 months pregnant at Peloton, and I was physically capable of doing it. I felt really strong. I felt great. Thank goodness. But I just want to invite less judgment and more curiosity about what we're capable of. And instead of asking, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Focus on what can you do? It's a whole lot. You can do a whole lot. So focus on what you can do and use that to prop you up.
I love that line, less judgment, more curiosity, because here's what I've learned is the more you're judging other people, the more you're actually judging yourself. Even mm-hmm. though you don't know it in the moment, it's hurting you. So instead of approaching it from a place of curiosity, oh, I wonder how that works for her. You know, that's interesting. I had never thought about that. You know, I wonder what that feels like, or, you know, how that makes her feel. That is such a powerful shift that everybody should deploy in their life, no matter what. Because the minute you stop judging people, that's also the same minute you take others off a pedestal. That's also the same minute you see yourself as an equal to everyone. And to me, that's what this life is all about, that we all are equals. And in fact, let's be there to cheer each other on instead of mm-hmm. trying to strip each other down. So thank you for that. So tell me, one of the things I like that you did, you approach fitness from a prior business law experience. So you're very different than the typical, what you would think, you know, a typical instructor. And that's why I love that you're looking at this business that you're building from the books, from, you know, from the brand and from leading as the VP of the brand, and then also through brand partnerships. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened, that evolved?
So I kind of look at it as like, I'm the center of the wheel, and then there are spokes of the wheel. And like, one of them is Peloton. One of them is my book writing. One of them is, you know, entrepreneurial things. And then the brand relationships that I have developed over the years with stuff that I'm naturally interested in, right? Like, I love fashion. So GSCQ was an obvious partner for me when I approach, or whether it's something like, I'm a vegan athlete. So I, you know, partnered with a company, Athletic Greens, and I ended up investing in that company and investing in Venus's, you know, plant protein line Viking, you know, Happy Viking. So those are natural extensions of how I live my life. I don't really believe in practicing what you preach. I want to preach what I practice. And then I want brands that do that as well. So that is always like the internal gut check that I'm doing with my team. I now have agents at WME and, you know, a PR team. And when we're discussing this stuff, it's like, I would never, first of all, I have to use the product and genuinely love it. But also the messaging has to make sense, right? Like, I'm never just going to sign a deal just because the dollars are nice. In fact, I say no to most things. But when things like GSTQ, so my relationship with Danny started a few years ago. Danny Garcia started GSCQ, and GSCQ's event was actually one of the first events I went to after having Thena and when the world started opening up again after COVID. And she had a launch event for her brand, for her fashion line in New York City. And I just went as a fan and an admirer of Danny, and the clothes were so dope. I literally came home and I ordered like half the collection. And then GSCQ reached out to my team and was like, hey, we want to work together. And this is the, like the ideal scenario where it's like, hey, I already spent my own money on the clothes. Of course I'm happy to be paid, you know, to wear them now. It's interesting because I always say I traded my suits for spandex when I left law. And now it's such a treat to be able to like rock a blazer and a crop top with like some sporty track pants that are like elevated with platform. You know, it's like I can now mix. I thought I had to kind of park that part of my identity because I was like, okay, well, this is what a fitness instructor looks like, or this is what somebody in fitness looks like. And it's like, no, like I can do it my own way. And so whether I'm rocking a red carpet or whether I'm going to teach a class, like I might have like one foot in one world of high fashion and one foot in the other, and I make it my own. And that's definitely what the GSTQ message is all about. And the clothes are just beautiful. I mean, I literally feel like I could work out in the blazers. Like that's how comfortable they are. I did like 10 hours in DC the other day. It was like a fast and furious trip. I got to go to the White House with this group, Poderistas, a nonpartisan group that was there doing amazing work. And literally got on the train that morning in the GSTQ suit. And like 14 hours later, stumbled into the door wearing the same GSTQ suit. Oh, honey, I still look good.
I love it. Well, Robin, with so much going on and literally your star is shining so bright, you're exploding. What is next from you? What are you looking forward to next?
I want to continue creating platforms that allow people to step into their own power and become self-sustaining fire starters. Like whether it's approaching self-care with intention and boundary setting, or, you know, one of the projects I'm most excited about right now is the creation of the first health and wellness club in Web3. I founded Swagger Society a few weeks ago, and we are going to be minting NFTs in early 2023. And it's going to be a self-actualization Swagger Society. It's like, if you want to be surrounded by folks who want more for themselves, who want to have conversations that light you up and have an environment where 1,000 or less folks, it's going to be a small, very curated community, are really there for each other, engaging in conversation, having book clubs, early access to all the things I'm working on. That's really, I'm going to hold space for people's power and for them to broker connections and really midwife each other's dreams.
Oh, so beautiful. Community is so important now more than ever after everybody had been isolated for so long. I love that you are doing this for everyone. Where can everyone find you? Where can they get the book? Where can they catch up with you?
I am Robin Arson, and you can find me at robinarson.com. I am on social media as Robin Arson, Robin NYC on Twitter. And you can follow Swagger Society as well on Twitter. And that's where you're going to find news about my Web3 projects. And of course, I'm at Peloton, head instructor, teaching there many times a week.
She's the most motivating instructor you will ever take. Definitely catch a class. Robin, thank you so much for all the good that you're doing. Keep it up. We are here cheering you on.
Thank you all so much. Great to see you, Heather.
Guys, until next week, keep creating your confidence.
In a while, you could miss it.
Come on this journey with me.
Hi, I'm here to tell you about a new podcast that I am so excited about, Negotiate Your Best Life, hosted by Rebecca Zung, a part of the Yap Media Network. As a globally renowned narcissist negotiation expert and an attorney recognized by U.S. News as a best lawyer in America, Rebecca shares her invaluable insights and strategies for navigating life's toughest negotiations. By drawing from her own experiences and the wisdom of her high-profile guests, such as Bob Proctor, Mark Victor Hansen, John Gordon, and Rebecca delivers empowering advice that will inspire you to reclaim control of your life. Negotiate Your Best Life is all about how to negotiate your way to greatness. She provides practical guidance on how to break free from toxic relationships, stand up against injustice, and transform chaos into freedom, possibility, and purpose. Many times, the first negotiation you do is with your own in the morning. In the morning is when you wake up, and that's when Negotiate Your Best Life is time for you. It's about to find your way to greatness, conquering obstacles, and creating the life you truly deserve. Get ready to slay, thrive, and unlock your full potential. Don't believe me? I'm going to go ahead and share some of the reviews that are out there so you can hear and you can believe too. You have helped me so much these last few weeks. I was with a narcissist for 2 years. She drove me to the point I wanted to take my own life. Listening to you has made a massive difference, and now I know what I'm with. Thank you, Rebecca. Now the recovery. Thank you for gifting the knowledge to believe in myself again. You have unknowingly helped me legally represent myself through criminal, federal, and civil court proceedings with a narcissist. There would be so many people around the world that you're helping without even knowing like me. You saved my life. Emma, 35 years old, Australia. If you are ready to stand up against injustice and transform the chaos in your life into freedom, possibility, and purpose, then check out Negotiate Your Best Life now. Subscribe to Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.